Most people don't know what's holding them back, but you do because you listen to me, Sam, your self-care guru and journal junkie. Welcome to Journal Entries, your safe place where you can tune in weekly to get tips, tricks, and journal prompts to uncover your feelings, gain clarity, and make your move. Hello, welcome back to Journal Entries and this week's podcast episode. This week, we have a special guest, Brittany Burnham. She is a gym owner in Albany, New York. She is also a coach and a podcast host. Today, we dig into so many topics. We talk about her crazy life story and how she's been able to come out on the other side and always get more out of life. We talk about her resilience, building community, and belief in yourself. I felt inspired all over again while editing this episode, so I know that you're going to love it. Also, super quick, head on over to my Instagram at samantha.s.says because I am announcing lots of gifts and giveaways for the rest of December, including a huge, huge, huge price drop in my journaling community, a full day of virtual coaching with me, and never before shared journal prompts from a workshop that I held. And all of that is being shared over on my Instagram, but also on my email list. So click the link in my show notes to sign up for journal prompts, and you'll actually be the first to get updates on how to win all of those things. Okay, now let's hear from Brittany. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Brittany, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Me too. It's funny because as soon as we met, I feel like we vibed instantly, but we didn't yet know each other's stories. And then once we did, it was just like, oh my gosh, we are almost the same person. We're just like very similar, you know?
I love that. It's the power of connection. Just like one person or just a couple experiences. Absolutely. That's how I felt too. So thank you.
Yeah. And similar in like not so normal ways, if you will. Not so like we both like the color pink, but like in like deeper ways.
The non-traditional, right?
Yes. The non-traditional. That's the word. Not normal.
Not normal.
Non-traditional. The thing that I love though is that despite all of that stuff, I feel like you come off as this like powerful and positive and influential and like strong force almost. And so my first question for you is, have you always been that way? Like, were you the little girl on the playground that was like beating up the kids that were like mean to other people?
Not mean.
Or did you like learn it? No?
No, I was not mean. I was the one like, follow me, everyone. Let's do this. Let me bring you together. Like, I was the one like, you know, on the stage when I was a dancer, but also on the field or court when I was an athlete, like, let me lead. I will help you. Let's bring the team together. Always since I was little, I was the only girl on the boys t-ball team. That's when it all started. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's been like just those skills or just those traits or characteristics about myself since I was little, but also a lot through obstacles, lots of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mean you or me. And I, for some reason, my mind went to like elementary school playground and like you sticking up for like the mean kid that was being mean to like other people. You were like doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Just like supporting other, I feel like I picture you and you're like supporting other people all the time, you know?
Yeah, in different pockets of people too. And it came from my parents. My parents were both educators. Just came from like inclusivity and just to show love and respect for everyone. Like, I received that from my parents. And so I always wanted to give that back and just more love, more peace, more the merrier, right? We need more of that in this world now.
So speaking of obstacles in your story, do you want to share a little bit about where you come from and kind of some of those obstacles that you faced that helped develop who you are today?
Absolutely. Well, I am from a little town called Voorheesville, New York. It's outside of Albany. So I graduated with like 80 people. So very small town. Everyone knows each other and everyone just grows with each other. And so, but I wanted to go a little bit bigger. And I didn't initially, because of people pleasing tendencies, I ended up going to University at Albany, right down the road from my house. But it felt like a massive change because I was in a city, in the capital of New York. And I remember being like, this is a culture shock. There's actually diversity in Albany. So that was a big change for me, even though I wanted to go far away into like those big, you know, big D1 schools and play sports. So I was a D1 athlete. I played softball, and I didn't experience hardship or obstacles, honestly, until after I graduated. Like, my parents, you know, came from like the all-American family. My parents were educators, and everyone wanted to be like our family. It was like, kind of like the white picket fence. And then boom, I was in grad school in Philadelphia. I was going for sports administration and recreation. And I learned literally the first month when I moved there that my dad was living a double life. And my father was always like my hero. He was so supportive. He was my coach growing up. And there was a lot of mental health and substance abuse. But when I say living a double life, like, I found out I had a black brother. I found out my father had like multiple affairs. Oh, and it was quite the trauma, my first time experiencing trauma and without my family, not like being in a location in a big city, not knowing anyone. So, I had to make a really hard decision if I was to move home and support my mom, because my dad went to rehab. And then I chose myself. Like, I was like, I will not let my father have this power over me. I have my own path. I mean, like, he was doing, like, he took out credit cards in my name, loans in my name, like all these things. And we're okay. Like, we're okay now. I had to do a lot of inner work and forgiving. And I didn't speak to him for years, because things kept, you know, compounding over time, finding out these things. But that was my first time when I really had to learn to cope and learn, like, really resilience, because resilience always came to me through sports and just experiencing those type of losses. But this is what set me up for, I truly believe, all the other traumas I've experienced in the past 21 years now. So that happened, and I 5 years later, I, you know, moved home back to Albany for an amazing, incredible position as the athletic director and founding member of an all-girls charter high school. So that was incredible. And however, at that time, I met my daughter's father, who was pretty much the same human as my father. And this is a pattern, right? Like, I've learned in the past 20 years, these patterns that I have acquired over time, and that I'm trying to unlearn through doing all this inner work. But when I went back to the first trauma of my dad, I suppressed it. I didn't deal with it. And how I dealt with it was by working. I was in grad school full time at Temple. I was working full time at Villanova, and I was working two part-time jobs as a bartender in Philadelphia. So, like, I Wow. did not slow down. I kept doing, right? So this is what we hear a lot with, especially mothers who are entrepreneurs, like, just the constantly doing, doing, doing. And we love that ambition. And I learned so much. But then when I met my daughter's father, the same thing happened. There was red flags. I got into a very abusive relationship. I'm a very proud domestic violence survivor. I got out of it when I became pregnant. A lot of mental health, bipolar, and moved in with my mom. And I know this is long. I'm trying to condense this.
It's so interesting, unfortunately. Oh,
I know. I'm like doing the bullet points here. But then when I was strong enough to get out of that, because I had a purpose, I found a reason. I realized I wanted to change him, and just realizing, nope, I need to take care of myself. I ended up leaving. I was pregnant and at the girls' charter high school, and I was you know, one of the founding members. I was leading this school of all these inner city Black and Hispanic girls who I mean, their motto and their mission is one leader changes everything. And these girls were first time going into college students. Like, I was part of that college bound experience. So here I am trying to influence them, but here I am in this abusive relationship and saying, like, I want more for myself, but I need a change. I needed a change. So I went back to college to become an ultrasound tech because it was so cool. I had a baby living inside of me. I'm just like, I want to tap out of this. I want to help people in a different way. Let me tell you, that was not for me. being in the hospital to do my hours, like, I went from top high to like the most humbling low experience, making, I think it was like $12 an hour, and like literally picking up poop and sitting with peoples who were trying to commit suicide. I was in the trauma unit. So I was like, this is not what I intended or expected. So I always give a shout out to all the nurses and healthcare workers, because that takes a different type of person to be able to do that every single day. That was so hard for me. I think I cried every single day, and I was just like, okay. I was put on the waiting list for the imaging program, which was a sign. I started applying back to all these jobs for sports administration and recreation in the area. I knew so many people. I was an athletic director. I kept getting no's. I was a finalist. I had so many no's. Samantha, like, when I tell you, I had to go back to my emails to remind myself of these no's and how I was able to overcome this. I just did it recently because I'm experiencing a lot of loss and hardship and obstacles currently in the season too. So I end up finally saying, I need to take care of myself. So that transformation of me finally like owning my power and taking care of myself first. And my daughter was at this time a year. She turned a year, and I'm like, something needs to change. I started doing workouts in my mom's basement, and my whole body completely transformed. My mind did first, because I made a commitment to myself. And that's when I said, okay, I can do this for other people. Like, I did this when I was a coach. I did this when I was an educator. This is where I need to go. So I created Hit It With Brit and started in my mom's backyard with 8 women. And it transformed to an empire where it grew within like 100 members in the first year. And I rented a cheer facility, and I went to another facility. And since then, there has been a lot of learning and transforming in different ways. I've rebranded to the gym. I've rebranded to Power. It's pronounced Power, PWR, Performance Wellness Recovery. And now I have another child. I have a bonus blended family. And it has been the most fulfilling experience and also the hardest experience with coming into, I built out my brand new facility. We're in it right now. It's 8,000 square feet. I put all my heart and all my finances into it. But I'm also on this path to wanting more and to impacting more women and mothers, because I have realized a lot more about myself. Like, I was talking about the patterns and things about myself of constantly doing and being burnt out. So that's really it in a nutshell. 10 minutes later, getting into my story. I'm so sorry.
No, I found that fascinating. And the one thing that I jotted down that I picked up that you kept saying between each of those little bullet points that you had was that you kept wanting more for yourself, even from like high school to going to UAlbany and then going to Temple. And then like in between each one, even leaving the domestic violence, like you knew that you wanted more for your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious if you've ever thought about this, or, you know, if you've, maybe you're very aware of it, but when you finally had that hit of like, okay, I need to do something different, did you do anything specific that helped you like go in the next direction? Mm. Like, did you journal through it, or did you go see a therapist, or did you go work out and like you had a revelation during that? Did you go home? Was there anything that helped you get that clarity of like, okay, well, what is it that I should do?
Mm-hmm. I love this question because it's so different for everyone. the first thing is the mindset, and that, and like, how does that mindset transform? How do we shift the mindset? And it started with my workouts, because I ultimately believe exercise or finding whatever works for you is the gateway drug to your success. And that, because we're constantly having to commit and do something hard and keep in those reps over time, just like getting stronger, getting leaner, those reps are the same reps that we need in committing and dedicating and overcoming the hard. So that's exactly what changed the trajectory of each obstacle. I did the same thing when I was in Philadelphia. When I found a gym, and it wasn't like anything like how the gyms are now. That was 2006, 2007, before like boutique fitness came about and CrossFit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the mindset shifts is everything. I started reading more, getting into personal development. So each time I had to overcome, or like, just to kind of answer your question, it was tapping into something to enhance my growth and to overcome the resistance and those limiting beliefs, because we have them every single day. We all do. I mean, I don't know anyone that has never doubted themselves or been held back or resisted that next move or that risk. So I would say the working on my body and my holistically, it first started inside and then developed to the outside of like, okay, now I move forward. Yeah.
And that's what you help women with at your gym for sure, is like the mm-hmm. inside to outside. You said that you help other like female entrepreneurs too. Do you do the mindset stuff with them as well?
Yes, we start. So with my one-on-one clients and in any of my small group containers, that is the first. It's about awareness. So we talk about identity. Identity awareness is everything, because we all have blind spots and we don't know what we don't know. So learning more about ourselves and how we communicate, how we respond, how we receive, that's huge. Like how we receive, that is just one thing. So the feedback, the good and the bad and the ugly of anything about ourselves. And I use with my clients and my team and my staff, we do assessments, we do journaling, reflection. It's so important. And that's where the mindset is, where we have to really designate that time of our brain fuel. It's brain fuel. It's fueling our brain. And I'm sure like you talk so much about this too. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I love that. I like that you said receive too. I was hosting a journaling workshop, and at the end, looking back, I would have spent way more time on this, but at the end, we talked about support. Mm-hmm. And asking for support. And the group seemed to be very aware that they don't ask for support. I think a lot of women, you know, can become aware of that. Yeah. And even the reasons why they don't ask for support. But it hit a nerve for a lot of them when I started asking them, like, when people do offer support, do you accept it? Like, how do you receive support? And they were all like, oh. Mm. I don't. Like, I just say, no, I'm good. Like, I can do it, or I can do this. Like, we actually put more on our plates in that sense. So that is really big. That would be a huge blind spot. I think we're not really aware of the receiving.
And I appreciate you saying that and acknowledging, because that is one of the main topics that we discuss, is that receiving. And that's part of, oh gosh, what book is it? I have to share that with you. That definitely changed my mindset. And one of the last levels is receiving. It's on leadership. The go giver. If you have never read The Go Giver, ladies, guys, if you're listening, The Go Giver is incredible. And it's all about like the value that we give, but also the last part is also receiving. And it's very hard for us mothers, because we want it done our way, right? Like, we want the control and we want to. So that's such a challenge, but I am still trying my hardest to be able to ask and take if someone asks for help. Like, just like my past event, I felt like I was doing everything myself, but the women on the panel of the podcast event were just like, let me help. Can I do this? Let me do this. And I was like, yes, please. And that felt so good. It finally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people want to help because then they feel good.
Yes.
And like when you ask for help, you're then giving the opportunity for that other person to feel better and to feel mm-hmm. like useful and resourceful and yeah. all of that.
It's the contributing. Yeah. It's the same thing like mm-hmm. with our kids. I have these conversations with my kids. Like I didn't even talk about that in the intro, but I have 4 kids under the age of 11. And how can I receive their help? How can they contribute is the little things in the house. And that's like the lesson not only we want to give us women, but our children too, because those are the ones that we're, you know, that's the ones that we're raising to be the next generation of giving and whatever their gifts are.
I was going to touch on that because I knew that you had 4 kids and it's a blended family, which I feel yes. like there's probably a lot that Ooh. Goes into that. How have you navigated all of that on top of the entrepreneurial stuff that you have going on and, you know, the gym stuff and the stuff that you're building on the side as well? Not on the side, but like at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been really hard. Like I am not going to sugarcoat it. Blended family life has definitely dynamics I never anticipated. And I have leaned in on other bonus moms and stepmoms. I've gone to Instagram handles just to read things and reach out. I actually brought them on my podcast because you do feel alone, just like in entrepreneurship and motherhood, but being in a blended family and being the stepmom, because we have full custody. And my bonus babies, their mother lives across the country and they haven't seen her in over a year. So I am full-time the mama bear with the emotional, the physical. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress. On top of, unfortunately, I have to experience a lot of attacks and a lot of hate from their mother. And unfortunately, it's nothing that something I can't control it, but it does affect a lot and impact a lot of my personal life, but most importantly, my professional life. Like it took a toll on me in 2023, when 2022 and 2023 was when we're going through the custody battle. And it, just think about it, like if we're, and this is why I never really fully love the term balance, because I've talked about this in my podcast. I talk about this many times in our containers, is being in a blended family, I talk about blending versus balancing. Because there was times where here I am in the gym and I'm doing a podcast right now, but if my children were to call me, something would be happening. I have on do not disturb. So that's not balanced to me. Or when I'm like in a meeting and something is happening in the custody and I'm getting attorneys calling, and even though I'm not the one, but I'm still was very much in it. So it's been really, really hard. Different parenting styles, different cultures. There's so much that goes into navigating blended families. And if there's any advice I'd give anybody, if you are in that position, is to lean on support and find that support of people who understand, because you feel so misunderstood. Like I had CPS call on me. The cops come to my house, you know, like all these traumatic things that have happened over the course of a couple of years that have also impacted my business to be in the back burner, which has been difficult for me, where I also have to learn to not be resentful of certain things that I chose. Like I chose my family, I chose to help, I chose to support. So I've had to like check myself in my head a lot and receive support as much as I can.
I like that you said that you like went to Instagram accounts for like inspiration and whatnot, because mm-hmm. that's what I did during my divorce. I found so much community in that, because
yes.
I know that there must be like divorced women groups and whatnot, but on Instagram is just so much easier. And that's what I did. I just found like supportive accounts and would connect with people like through the comments and even just like the inspirational quotes that they would share. So, and it I helps. Found help. Yes. Yeah. It yeah. just makes you feel less alone. Like you said, like you feel
yes.
alone
and seen that. And heard, because mm-hmm. it was, you don't want to, who do you talk to about? Like if I'm talking to Joe, my partner, we've been engaged for 6 years now. But like talking to him about it, we talk about it, but I don't want that always to be our topic conversation. I also have like other deep feelings about it. So, and I need just support on how to even parent my one kid versus another kid. And that's why we get into awareness and identity with our children too. And with between Enneagram and human design, like I'm very much into that because we're all unique. We're all so different. I cannot compare my oldest baby who came out of me compared to my youngest. They're complete opposites and different blood.
Yeah. What is your human design? I'm curious.
I'm a 3-6 emotional generator.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess generator or manifesting generator.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're into it too. So you get it.
Yeah. See? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
So regarding community, I know that that's huge for you.
Yes.
And I know that you obviously have a community at your gym and you're going to be doing like group coaching and whatnot, and you already have that. So what is your stance on community and like why is that so important to you?
Oh my goodness, you asked us such a crucial time because there's been a lot of shift and change in my community at the gym. Because community is everything when you are building, and like when I say holding them tight, the value that they bring to your business, they're the reasons we exist in and out of the walls of our gym. So when I have And when I look back during the Hit It With Brit days, I was so in my business where my community were like my friends. I've also learned the hard way that that was really difficult and one of the big reasons why I transitioned and rebranded to Power, because everyone wanted me and it was a lot of pressure, and I was in a transition of becoming a bonus, having, I was pregnant and I had 3 other kids under the age of 5. So community, yes. So community can be the most incredible, amazing thing. We see what happens when there's a cohesiveness and there's a synergy, and they cultivate the growth. They're the ones that cultivate that. It also can be a really scary and sad thing with community. And I'm talking more specifically in the gym. I can't speak on other brick and mortars or other online communities because one little change can lead into a very massive change if you have the right people who are there to support you and who see the vision, who believe in the vision. So I have always been one to like hold your, like, really support the community, not just in the area of what we're doing. So like for the gym, it's much deeper than that. Like I always say to my coaches and my team, we need to know when they're having babies, when they're moving, when they get a new job. Like we have to celebrate them. And it's all up. They want the attention and they deserve that. But it's also very difficult if you don't have the right team in place to support that or to elevate that and to enhance it, because it's a lot. It's a lot to have to, and then that pressure to keep up with, I need to make sure that I'm responding to them and engaging with them and knowing about their life so they can feel seen and heard as well. So, it's a lot to tackle on and to gauge and to build. Cause right now I'm in the process of, I want to call it reloading and not rebuilding, because I've built this. And so I have made some hard decisions that impacted my community. And those hard decisions are raising prices. It's happening everywhere. Yeah. But the perception of how I made the decision wasn't received as what I thought it would be. And to me, even being vulnerable and giving a video and giving a space to be able to speak to them and to be able to hear them I knew I had to give that to them. Like I knew they wanted that opportunity. So building community is huge. And that's why I'm also building the Mom Boss Maximizer community, because I can relate to them so much more. just in the season, as you can hear from my story, and I knew my transition from going like from being a gym owner to now being a coach and a podcast host was going to shake it up. But that's how I've always been. Like, I shake the shit up and I take risks. And if people want to, you're not for everybody. Like, that's my thing. You're not for everybody. And I heard this thing. It was like, oh, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. It was something about like, I'd rather be their cup
shot of whiskey.
The shot of whiskey. Yes. Yeah. I just saw that. And I was like, yes, that's the edgy, gritty part of those are the people I want to be surrounded by. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. From everything that you've shared, we love a success story and you've had so many, but we love the real stories. You know, like we want to hear the wins, but we want to know that you're real on the other end, right? And like if you're going through real life and whatnot. And I feel like that's exactly what you share. The powerful thing I think from your story is that you always find the light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, what did you say? You want more for yourself. You come out getting more because you want more.
Mm-hmm.
The last question I have for you is inspired by a conversation I just had with my private client right before this. She is actually trying to build a community of her own for the very first time. And she had said to me that the thing that is going to get in her way that she's already aware of is herself. And mm-hmm. she said, who am I to be doing this? So my question to you is, since you are like the rebound, is that what you said? Rebound?
Reloading.
Yes. Since you are reloading and resilient and all of these things, what would you say to the person who tells that in the back of their mind? They're saying, who am I to be doing X, Y, and Z? How would you tell that person to like to make that move and to go for more in their life?
Ooh, I would tell them, why not? And what if, like those statements of what is the worst or what is the best? And just to continue asking those introspective questions of not the negative, but more what could be if you ... The advice I would give when you're building a new community is show your face. Right now, that's what I'm hearing, and that's what the mentorship that I've been given. And what I've always done is, like you just said, the realness and the raw, and to speak on it, because people are going to resonate it no matter what. Even if we feel, and I'm sure for those of you listening, like, you know, the online space is so saturated. Everyone's doing it. Or stop comparing yourself. Stay in your lane and be you. Like, I know we keep hearing that term, like authenticity, but for real, like just rip off the Band-Aid and just share your story. One of the best piece of advice too is the story arc. Share that story. Just like where you started, what was that climax, and where you want to be and where you are, like where you are right now, and to keep pressing on that. So from confusion to clarity, from fuckery to freedom. I like to say from fuckery to freedom because I can speak on that. So speak on something that really hits you, from this to that. And that little messaging is really going to help your community understand and relate to you.
I love that. One point on your Instagram, you said from overwhelm to overflow.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, I love overflow. I was just like, yes, that's what I want.
Yes. Thank you for recognizing that. It was received. Like a lot of people understood that. So you're going to get that of just like two little simple words, like where you were and where you want to go. Yeah. Overflow. We all want to be overflowing with abundance mindset and the overflow of freedoms that we're all chasing.
Mm-hmm. And people want to be a part of that when you are on that transformation. Mm-hmm. And also knowing that, you know, if you're just one step ahead, you can help somebody get there too, you know, even if you're not at the very end. But speaking on all of that, do you want to share with my listeners what it is that you have in the works and where they can find you to get to know you a little bit more?
Yes. My Instagram, that's where I have all of my conversations. For the most, it's Brittany.Burnham. And please reach out in the DMs. My Instagram handle for my podcast is Mom Boss Maximizer. And we're going to be having another huge event that I have annually. It's called GUTS, Girls Using Their Strengths. I have another handle for that. And that's all about empowering women. We say girls using their strengths. So what is your strength? And everyone has their own beautiful individual strengths. And how do we give that to others? How do we serve others? So that was such an incredible event. And I'm excited on March 24th, we're going to be doing it again here in Albany, New York, with incredible speakers more throughout the country. So I have that going on. Yeah.
That's awesome. I know that I have listeners in Albany because I lived there for a few years.
Yes.
And I just know people that live there too. So
that's
awesome.
Hopefully
they're going to go. Yeah.
I love when that happens. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Brittany, thank you so much. This was such an inspiring conversation. And I know that the listeners walked away with a bunch of tips and also just inspiration to, I think, trust their inner knowing. I think that's what I got from your whole story, is that you were able to become aware of like what was happening and know yeah. that you were like made for more, you know, and that you have the choice to make that possible. So thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you so much for having me, Samantha.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's journal entry. I love connecting with my listeners, so make sure you screenshot this episode and tag me on Instagram at samantha.s.says so I know you're listening. And don't forget to grab your free training and journal prompts at www.samanthapenkoff.com/podcast.